Hello and welcome. Today I'm speaking with Vinita. Apart from being the founder and CEO of Sugar Cosmetics and a mom of two, Vinita also is a successful Ironman triathlete and has completed the 89-kilometer Comrades Run in South Africa twice. And oh, she also ran a half marathon when she was 6 months pregnant. Yep, she's all kinds of awesome, and in this chat, we uncover how she does it.
Hey guys, we have Vinita, the founder of Sugar, with us today. Founder of Sugar, and before that, Fabbag. We'll talk about that. So Vinita, you've like founded one company, then founded another. You've raised multiple rounds of funding. You've appeared on every startup magazine cover, podcast, everything that one can think of. Maybe not podcasts. You've just gone through a retail crisis, and here we are, stupid enough, not wanting to talk to you about any of those, but instead wanting to talk to you about a slightly lesser known fact about you and your husband, that both of you are successful Ironman triathletes. So I want to kick this off by asking you to tell us your story. Like, how did it begin? How did you get into endurance? What got you here?
Sure. I actually will probably do another podcast with you where I quell all the rumors that you've been spreading about sugar. I know your anti-sugar campaigns. I have to do a separate session to tell people how sugar is awesome. But yes, we'll leave that for another session. This one is off. This one is the out of syllabus one. And I love that. I grew up in the Ames campus, and both my parents are like non medical doctors, like Ross Geller. So they basically, and they're big, like, health freaks. So my dad's like 71. He still works all day in his lab. And, you know, he has this pedometer where his target is like 15,000 to 20,000 steps a day. It's not like 10,000. You know, like 15,000-20,000. And my mom is like 69, and she's retired. But, you know, until 4-5 years back, she used to do half marathons with me. And, you know, in the Mumbai half marathon, there was, you know, she like came like third rank in a few years back, about 7-8 years back. So yeah, so there, of course, so I grew up with the whole thing that health is wealth. My dad used to keep saying this all the time. And so, you know, very particular about, you know, having like ghar ka khana and like taking care of what we're eating and taking, you know, exercising every day. And I think entrepreneur banne ke baad probably concept aya that wealth is wealth. But in my family, it's all like health is wealth. So that's the, that's how I grew up. And so I used to always play badminton, inter-IIT badminton. And, you know, when I was in inter-IIT, there were such few girls that my coach used to all the time tell me, why don't you do track and field as well, because we need girls, and you know, you're tall, so you will be good at basketball and running. That was that implicit assumption. But I used to be so paranoid that I can't lose my, you know, badminton gold medal, although I did lose it twice. But I used to be so paranoid about it, I didn't want an injury, so I used to stay away from any sport. And I used to think focus is a thing, and I'm gonna be like really good at badminton. And when I went to IMA as well, so while we were still at IMA, somebody had mentioned this idea that, you know, this marathons is like quite a cool thing, and there's a, you know, very famous Mumbai marathon which is international accredited, you know, it's one of the first in India. And so then somebody mentioned that like it would be a great challenge to participate in that, and you know, marathon equal to 42 kilometers. And somehow like about 5-6 of us signed up for it at the campus, right? So we're in campus in about August or September. Jan mein Mumbai Marathon, the famous one. And obviously we didn't Google that there's a concept called half marathon. And we are like, okay, marathon means 42 kilometers. And because if you've never even run like 1 or 2 kilometers in your life, you don't understand difference between 2 and 42, right? You're like, ha, theek hai, training hota hoga. And so we signed up. And, you know, later on when I met like all kinds of runners, everybody tells me like how it's like, you know, you do 10 and 21 and then 42. But of course, like absolute irrational behavior. We signed up and this, you know, I was 23 then. So obviously there is a big advantage. Now I realize that now that I'm 37, that, you know, body changes. It's not as easy to wake up and do a marathon, but at that time it was easier, to be honest. And of course, full day, 8 o'clock to like 7 p.m. we used to have like classes and then project meetups and stuff. So 2 a.m. Is when we used to go and run. And literally, like, you know, because we're like, Achha, that's when the weather will be okay. There'll be less traffic on the roads. So we used to do these 2 a.m., like 4 or 5 of us used to meet up at the gate and run on the streets of Ahmedabad, like complete morons. And like, with that kind of random ad hoc training, like literally a plan that was like somebody downloaded from the internet, like a 20-week, 42-kilometer program. And we decided that let's try to hit at least 60-70% of it. And we landed up at race day. Somehow finished the race in about 5 or 6 minutes. And, you know, that time it was like, the experience was surreal because obviously there were such few runners and there were very few women. This was like 2007, right? And so they used to have like other amateurs go first and the elites used to go after 1.5 hours. As I remember in my first marathon, this point in like, you know, when the elites, those the Kenyan Ethiopians are like massive, like running at 20 kilometers per hour, they crossed me at Shivaji Park and everybody like in the crowd, like, you know, in sitting in their homes at Shivaji Park and all and, you know, standing on along the road, thought that I'm the Indian winner and they're about to cross me because I was the only woman they had seen in the last 1 hour, okay? So there was this whole like crowd of people going, India, India. And imagine like I'm like sprinting like to really like be in the horizon for at least like 5 seconds, but no, they like zoomed past me and you know, obviously all the other crowds are very disappointed that this like really bad shape of Indian running. But anyways, so yeah, it was a super interesting experience. And then so I got hooked to the idea that, you know, if nothing else, I don't get to like do any other sport, let me run. And so started doing. So in fact, Mumbai Marathon, you know, I did like some 10 or 11 back-to-back ones. And, you know, every year I used to just, you know, obviously in your 20s, you're like, you have a life, you want to like party and have fun. And, you know, I was running my own business, etc. So I would always be like last 2-3 months train kiya, whatever. And somehow like, you know, my best time probably improved by about 45 minutes or so, but not like anything major. Then somebody mentioned the idea that there is this thing called the Comrades Ultra Marathon. And, you know, the whole idea about doing 89 kilometers in South Africa. And like, you know, I saw the pictures, it was beautiful, right? It's like these hills going up and down. And, you know, the race is like got like this massive spirit because people are like laughing and singing while running and stuff like that. So it was amazing. The only problem with that was like it had this strict 12-hour cutoff, right? So at 12-hour, 0 minutes, 0.1 seconds, they just turn around and like shoot the gun and then like close it, right? And you're always, when you're watching the footage, you see these like, you know, lots and lots of people, hundreds of them coming in after the 12-hour cutoff. And then, you know, that like the whole emotional moment. In fact, the first person who missed it actually gets a big bouquet. The whole problem at this time was running was so nascent in India, this 2012-13, that, you know, you didn't have company. Like I probably knew somebody who was going for Comrades, but they were like somebody in Bandra, somebody in Kolaba, and you know, I was staying in Powai, right? So training was really hard because training runs would be like 40, 50, 60 kilometer, right? And when do you run? And I think I, you know, read somewhere that you used to run like 12 noon or something, but I was like, I can't like run at 12 noon. So I used to literally make my husband sit in the car in Powai at 2 a.m. You know, I used to go to my run and I used to like keep the phone on and he used to keep the phone on. And I'm like, okay, I will like, you know, just, you know, if I need help, you just come immediately. Because obviously he didn't want to like sit up 5-6 hours, just, you know, or drive around for 5-6 hours. So he would be at a spot like watching something and just waiting, and I would do like loops, like 2-kilometer loops, and while the phone was on, and I would be like surprised, like Kaushik, are you there? And he'd be like, and I'm like, listen, wake up, you're on guard here. So it was all kinds of, and then one 60-kilometer run I actually did on a treadmill, because you know, on a treadmill you don't have to worry about the weather. So I actually, and it was not like my own treadmill because I didn't have any money, my business was obviously not doing so well, so I used to go to this lake club, and there it was a public treadmill where they had this 20-minute limit. So you had to like do a treadmill 20 minutes. Sometimes somebody would come, so you had to like jog on the like floor and wait for your turn on the next treadmill. And like that 60 kilometers over 8 hours in a day. So obviously, like, you know, everybody there used to think I'm like a mad freak. And throughout all this, it was like very, I didn't have a coach. I didn't, you know, again, unlike you, I don't like, I'm like this doer. I don't study too much about things or, you know, think through them. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing all these stupid decisions. And so I would just like do whatever feels right. And, you know, just sign up and then be like, theek hai, dekh lenge, ho jayega. And so I didn't have like a Garmin. I didn't have like a training program. I used to actually wear like cotton t-shirts for two of my comrades. I wore this like heavy cotton t-shirt because it had this India flag stuck on it, and I thought that would be really cool, like you're running for India. And then later on I understood the concept of like, you know, sweat absorbing tea material and stuff like that, or what a Garmin is. And you know, now everybody does like, you know, HR related workouts and stuff. So all of that was very alien to me. In fact, in terms of actual nutrition during runs, I used to hate the smell of bananas, so I used to carry chocolates, and I didn't know the concept of like, you know, GU gels, etc. Later on, thankfully, I figured out. So it was, and you know, the comrades experience, of course, was like amazing. It was actually like a really life-changing experience. I actually finished two of those races in 11:56:36, which is like, you know, in a over a 12-hour race, you finish like 3.5 hours before. It's literally like one of those Dhoni match finishes where it's like you don't know what's going to happen. And I have like, you know, done all kinds of ridiculous, stupid things. Like, you know, at the 60-kilometer mark, you know, my husband once was like, just to cheer me up because I was like crying, I'm not going to be able to finish, Dara. And he met me on the mark and he's like, I think you take a sip of wine and it'll be really helpful. And I actually had wine, was chugging wine at the 60-kilometer mark. But again, like, just on pure like willpower, somehow finished those two comrades. And then the year after that, I really like, okay, I was like, this time I'll train. So I somehow managed to do like 500-600 kilometers, which is not so bad. It's half of what they advise, but that combined with the whole advantage of being younger and, you know, being running for many years, I managed to get like a bronze medal, as they call it, for doing a sub 11-hour finish. So I was like, okay, this is done. I'm like, you know, done with this. And that's when, around the same time is when we had started. So Kaushik and I got together and we started Fab Bag, which hadn't worked out. And then, that time we were just pivoting to sugar. And we also had our first kid. This was in 2015. So after doing my comrades, I was like, "Theek hai, teen comrades ho gaya. All my life goals are done." And I always knew I'm going to do an Ironman someday, because obviously it was like the next endurance thing, which was trending in India, right? You meet other people and then they talk about something. And then, you know, that time everybody's talking about Milind Soman, Ironman. So I was like, "Theek hai, karna hai." And it was like, I'll do it like in my 40s. So, you know, Kaushik and I used to have this conversation, 40th birthday pay or something like that. And then, so we used to always like talk about it. And so he is like exact, like Ulta. He's like, why would anybody spend precious hours of their life on the road running? And why would people want to put themselves, their bodies through like this kind of torture and stuff like that? And he was, absolute couch potato. But he was in his school days like a swimmer, right? So for him, it was like, you know, swimming is the easy part. And like, only if Ironman didn't have running, I'd probably do it. And I used to always say, like, if Ironman just started with the run and the swim was in the end, so that the cutoff didn't depend on like the swim, then that would be better. So when Ranveer was born in 2015, so I remember Kaushik was like, I'm just thinking I'll sign up for like this Olympic distance triathlon. And I'm like, what is this out of the blue, like from like, you know? And he calls it like sympathy weight, but during my 9 months of journey, I had gained about like 14-15 kgs, and he had gained like almost 8 kgs himself. So he's like, all this sympathy weight, you are back almost to your original, but I'm still like stuck with these extra 7-8 kgs, so let me do this as a thing. And then he did his first triathlon, and then he was like full, what if we do like a Ironman together, and like sign up for one. And obviously, you know, we had like a, I was like, swimming was out of question. But he started like every evening after like then we would sleep, he would like put these YouTube videos literally of like Ironman has very high budgets compared to comrades, right? So they create like very good content, right? They'll like put like some really motivational background song and have these videos where they'll show the same face in the morning before they jump into the race, lovely routes of Sweden and stuff where you're getting to ride, and then the finish wala feeling, emotions, families meeting and all. So, oh, you know, all that overdose of those videos, and I'm like, okay, let's sign up. And then we signed up, and then of course it was a crazy journey. I think I've been speaking for too long, so I will talk about that journey later. But broadly, that's how I got into it. And it's mostly not been so much for any specific agenda of being like a fitter person. I'm mostly like, I love this whole idea of, you know, having these chota mota goals. And like when you're building a company, it takes so long for anything to happen, right? Like for anything meaningful to happen, it takes years and years. Whereas the race is like 6 months, you know, all the highs, lows, everything compressed into 6 months, and you're like, not possible. Everybody saying, nahi hoga, nahi hoga, nahi hoga. And then finally you do it, and then you're like, you know, big high. So for me, I actually get inspired by these, you know, small adventures and these goals. And that's what actually makes me do it. It's not really, and I like running.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, I know, long story. I told you to interrupt whenever you want to.
Not the length of it, the like, clear that you are crazy. I think we need to put a parental guidance advisory on this podcast that stuff that has been spoken about has been done by crazy folks. Do not try and reattempt it at home without supervision. But okay, so too many questions that pop up in my mind, especially on two fronts. One is, you started with a full marathon, which is unheard of. For me, like, normal people don't do this. And the second is, what are these 2 a.m. runs? Do you guys sleep? And how much do you sleep?
So, I need sleep. I'm like this. If I don't have 7-8 hours of sleep, I'm extremely dysfunctional. And I discovered that, sometime in the last 4-5 years, I think, I literally think like probably 30 is this like big step jump after which, like really like your overall energy levels, need for nutrition, sleep, etc. go up. But yeah, in the thing is that anyways, students in B school used to hardly sleep. I mean, I'm sure you also had the same experience, that used to like 2-3 a.m. do like random group work, and then after that meet up and do coffee 4 a.m. and then wake up at 8 a.m. live on less sleep for a long period of time. So I actually was one of those extreme, you know. I used to hardly, I could sustain like on 4-5 hours of sleep for years together, and it wouldn't impact me. And I never knew, because I didn't read about it, I never knew there was a connection between recovery and sleep. So I think a lot of my problems with injury was probably because of the lack of recovery. And during my Ironman training, I never had any injuries. And I think that was A, because it involved cross training. So you're also doing things that help your muscles recover, like swimming and cycling. But also because of the fact that, I was very disciplined about sleep. And, you know, somebody had told me that that has a big impact on how your performance will be. And I was like, this one part I can easily control. Like everything else probably is harder, but this one part. So my husband and I had this very strict thing. I would go in the morning, he would go in the evening. So we had like somebody, the other person would babysit. And then we could manage like to both get enough sleep as well as, you know, time at work and, you know, do our babysitting responsibility, like to our best ability. I would recommend this to anybody, but I think some of those stupid things in your 20s you can get away with. I don't know if like 20 years later it's gonna come back and bite me and I'll get in some medical report like didn't sleep for 10 years. But yeah, as of now, I'm pretty disciplined about sleeping, so that part is gone. I can't do that again anymore.
Good, because had you said I can still do it, all of us would have gone and jumped off a cliff. So I want to talk about the triathlon practice now. A, tell everyone who's listening about, in detail, about the circumstances when you and your husband decided, chalo triathlon karte hain pehli bari life mein. And B, since at this time you guys had become, in your words, a little more educated about nutrition, training, discipline, sleep, etc. Talk us through your regime, if I may call it, both on the nutrition and the training front. in obviously the context of what you're going to tell us when you thought about it.
Sure, super. So, yeah, so the whole idea of, you know, we did the Ironman actually 2017, and 2015 is when Ranveer was born. And you know, like when he was, I had anyways decided that I'm gonna like ensure that I like my recovery post delivery is gonna be like, you know, at my terms. No, it's not gonna be like, I'm not gonna like, I'm gonna like start working out. So I was actually, I did my first run literally when he was 1 month old. And I just did it because, you know, I wanted to feel like I'm, you know, I have my body like still as it was pre-delivery. And I actually set a goal for myself. Again, like I told you, I'm like very this obsessed about having these little milestones. I had this goal that I would do a half marathon in under 2 hours when he would be 6 months old. And so this was, he was born in May, and November I had signed up for Delhi, because Delhi is like the like flattest route and the coldest, I know. So you go do all your PBs in Delhi. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna do that. But obviously the training is very hard, right? So I breastfed him for 1 year after he was born. And, you know, the whole like routine around like, you know, freezing the breast milk, etc. is very tedious. So yeah, wherever possible, you wanna be able to do it directly. And so there used to be like times where I'm literally like running and then I get a call that, okay, he's up, you know, and he's crying, mama, mama. And first time, you know, second time when I had a kid, I was like, okay, if the baby cries for 5 minutes, like, you know, he's just gonna grow better lungs and nothing's gonna, all hell won't break loose. But first time you're like, baby roya, can't be there in like 10 seconds, right? So everybody's so paranoid. And so, you know, I would like literally be running and then suddenly I'd like, oh, I would like sprint back like some, you know, Bollywood mom and like reach home within like, within 2 minutes, be there. And I would literally not even have time to like freshen up and stuff. I'd use a wet wipe to like wipe off the sweat and feed. And it was just, it was just like absolutely crazy, you know, because obviously there you had to wake up in the middle of the night and getting sleep, enough sleep. So training was really messed up. And I still managed to do, like, I actually finished the race in 2:00:40 seconds. And those 40 seconds was like, you know, this whole thing, like, because you don't at that time think, okay, agla baby ho jayega tab kar lena. It's like 40 seconds I missed my goal. And I was like really whining about it to my husband for the longest time. And which is when the whole, his whole triathlon thing had started. So he said, chal, let's do Ironman. And I was like, nahi yaar, Ironman mein like swimming and cycling seekhna padega. It's like a big, big life change, right? I mean, and for me, the biggest thing is that, like, at least running is something I feel like I'm fundamentally, you know, I've spent years doing. So even if I train less, I can catch up because of, like, they call it muscle memory or whatever your legs have, right? Swimming was something that I did grow up doing, but I was really, I mean, I always joke about it that it was like a cross between like breaststroke and freestyle. There's like, you know, you're splashing so much water, everybody around you thinks there's so much happening, but you're hardly moving. And then you realize that like actually swimming is not about splashing all the water and it's about elegantly moving. Like, so, you know, so yeah, so swimming was something I had to learn. And I was always scared like of deep water and stuff. I would never go into the water, you know, beach and stuff like that. And I had like this chlorine allergy. So I would like be like, you know, keep me away from water and I'm happy. So now an Ironman is typically 42 kilometers run, 180 kilometer bike ride and a 3.8 kilometer swim. The problem being it is in a lake or a sea. And you start with the swim. So you have to clear the swim cutoff and then cycle cutoff, and then you get to run, right? So if my plan banks on catching up in the run, you know, I still have to make those two cutoffs, which was my biggest life's concern. And so we signed up for this Olympic distance, which was like a 1.5 kilometer swim in a lake. You know, they followed by a 40 kilometer bike ride and then a 5 kilometer run. 10 kilometer run, sorry, it's been so long since I did it. So we signed up for this in you know, somewhere in California. And like getting into the water first time anybody does this whole swimming in a, you know, bottomless thing, it's very scary, right? So I really had like the greatest panic attack ever. I didn't think I could have a panic attack, but I got into the water and I was like, you know, just like gasping for breath. And like, I called for the kayak, and then, you know, I was like, hang on to the kayak, and I'm like, I can't do it. And time is ticking. You still have to, you know, do it within a certain time. And I like, you know, remember they were like, okay, if you want to like, you know, head back, that's fine. But I was like, oh my God, you know, for people like DNF is like a big deal, right? Did not finish wala tag is like the biggest nemesis for any endurance athlete. So I was like, whatever happens, I am not getting a DNF. I will finish it. Even if like cut off, what off, fine, forget it. But even if I'm the last person, I will finish it. So I used to literally be like, okay, I can do it. And like for 10 seconds, like, you know, just go splash around and then again come out and ask for the kayak and then like hang in there. And like that, you know, when I came out of the water, everybody was gone. They probably finished their cycling also by then. And, you know, people were literally looking at me like, you know, this person has like probably just delivered a baby or something. That's why she's looking like she's really freaked out. But I was very happy that, you know, I did this like open water swim and I managed to survive. And cycling, of course, as a, you know, runner, it wasn't as hard for me to do. So managed to do it. Somebody had mentioned that, you know, for a Ironman, you should be training about 15 hours a week. So obviously that was not possible. But what we, Kaushik and I did was, we are like, okay, we will try to do about 50-60% of what somebody needs to do, because we're not very particular about what time we finish in. So we would try to do like one swim, one run and one bike ride, and all like a decent distance in a week. And and of course, like the little one was like, you know, around 1 year old. He had also gone with us to California. And one day I had done the Olympic, next day Kaushik had done the half Ironman distance there in California. And the other one would be babysitting. And I remember we landed there, and within like 5 days, so, you know, like he would like literally, Ranveer would still be on this time where he was awake all night and sleeping all day. So that was a good thing that, you know, we could just manage that. And then it was like literally in the last 12 months. And this was the time where Sugar was also growing very fast. So, you know, work was also like really, you know, like fundraising, you know, and managing this. In fact, the biggest supportive investor who's there, Anand from India Goshen, he used to often joke about it. He's like, you know, agla Iron Man, IPO ke baad karna, okay? Like, you guys are doing a lot of this random stuff, not focusing on business. But anyways, that was just a joke, I guess. So it was actually, you know, the months leading to the race. Firstly, it was very hard because I was, you know, like literally learning two new sports. Secondly, you know, to get the swim, the confidence of being able to swim in open water, I used to go train in the Mumbai near Khardanda. And it was like, not only was it like disgusting in terms of the fact that there was like literally like oil and like debris and all floating in the water, and it was literally come back like full black face and like still smelling like a fish. I used to sometimes, once I did a shared Ola and I think the other person literally passed out. But so one was that. And then secondly, like, you know, just the whole idea of waking up at 4, going to Khardanda, doing that swim, coming back, you know, and office would start at 9 o'clock. So the schedule was really crazy. The bike rides would always happen on a Sunday. So, you know, Sunday mornings, Kaushik or I, you know, he would go on Saturday, I would go on Sunday, and we'd go like 5 a.m. and then come back by 9, 10. So the 6 months before the race, it was like, we'd put everything in life at hold. Like, we'd stop being able to see our friends. Like, our friends actually gave us this t-shirt that says how to be an Ironman, athlete, how to lose friends in 6 weeks or something like that. Okay. Because they were like, listen, you know, you better like get done with this, because we hadn't seen them at all. We wouldn't like be able to take Ranveer for a haircut. We couldn't do haircut. I remember like once I was like, you know, just make my hair so short that I don't have to come for a haircut like for the next 4 months. And you know, at home, things were breaking down, like geyser repair or whatever. We didn't have time for that. It was literally like, you know, just like work, be spending some time with Ranveer and work out. We were only talking about our, you know, how much was your cadence today and how much was your, you know, run timing and mileage. And we were obviously a lot more, so Kaushik luckily is the, you know, the reading person. So he would like come and give like, you know, a lot of gyan. And cycling is so technical, and I used to like completely rely on him for all the like, you know, what kind of wheels, what kind of seat, etc. So luckily he was like the CTO as far as our Ironman training was concerned as well. And in terms of nutrition, I would say that you know, so my only like life philosophy has been that I have very little packaged food because I've grown up not having packaged food. So I'm like this ghar ka khana person. So I'm always like, you know, if I'm training, instead of two rotis, I'll start eating four rotis. And, you know, instead of having like two eggs, I'll start eating six eggs. And I'm a vegetarian. So I used to like obviously think about whether it's enough or not. But I, you know, it was always, I used to always go by feel. Again, not do as much research and figuring out what works, what doesn't work. But that worked, like, you know, just increasing the overall carbs intake and overall protein intake. And so, yeah, and we actually in 2017 managed to finish the Ironman. You know, I think the like those 6 months, you know, when we look back at it, it was really hard. And the big difference between this and the work, you know, business is that at that point we were like killing ourselves. And I would, there were days and I would be like literally crying out of pain in the shower because I was like, kab khatam hoga? This like life is like really, really hard. But you know, it would be like 20 days to go, 15 days to go, 6 days to go. And whereas, you know, at work, we're exactly the opposite. It, things take so long that you're like, you better enjoy it. Otherwise you can't sustain that kind of passion for so long. So the only reason we actually were able to do is it was time bound. And the day the Ironman got over, I swear, after that day, I've not got on the bike. I've not done a single swim. I was like, I'm done. I'm back to running. And I'm not going to do this again because it was actually very, very hard. But, you know, now I'm at least, you know, that whole ability to call ourselves Ironman athlete, I think that's what, so it made it all worth it.
So just to be clear, you did the full Ironman, right? So
yeah, yeah.
Kilometer run, the 180 kilometer cycle and the 3.5 kilometer,
3.8, which I did 4.2 because, you know, you can't actually end up swimming in a straight line, right? You go like this, yeah. So, and literally there's a cutoff. So the swim cutoff is 2:20 and I got out at 2:07. And I was like my greatest. I was so happy after that. You know, there were these like, these were all European, right? We did in Austria and they're all very fast swimmers. So they looked at me with pity, like somebody, how can somebody be so slow when I got out of the swim? And I was like, yay, I made it before cutoff. And they were like seriously, like
they were playing to win, you were playing to survive.
Yeah, I was just like, if I get through the swim alive, that's it. I'm going to finish the race.
Weren't there points of time in the training when you felt like this is not worth it? Like, let's leave this.
Like so many times when, you know, I used to be like, why did I sign up for it? But the leaving that whole, that option is, you know, I'm just not wired to think of that, consider that option, like quitting option. And I don't think it's a great thing. I think, you know, in my previous startup, I really dragged it beyond its life for 5 years. You know, it wasn't even going beyond like a 2-3 crore sort of revenue, and still like keep doing it because of the fact that, you know, you're not wired to accept failure and accept quitting. So it's not always a good thing. I think sometimes it's a terrible thing.
It's pros and cons. Yeah. Because,
yeah.
So if you go when like I would have quit listening to your story about doing it.
Tell me about your running journey.
My running journey was all about weight loss. Yeah. So I figured that when I wanted to lose weight, so background is, both me and my brother, elder brother, we were both really, really fat kids. And he lost weight when he was about 18, 19 years old. And he lost it by stopping eating and starting running. So at that time, I used to be like, no point. I will enjoy life. Me ko mote nahi fight nahi hai. But then same 18, 19, I also felt ki weight lose karna hai for whatever reason. Most probably it was some girl's rejection. I don't remember exactly. And I figured that bhai ne lose kiya tha by running and not eating. So I will also run and not eat. And the first time I went out for a run, I couldn't run for more than like 500 meters. I still remember, actually 500 meters, 250 meters. Hamara ghar ke piche in Delhi, there is a park jiska one circle is 500 meters. I ran half that circle and I stopped huffing. And I was 110 kgs. I'd never moved लाइक मैं क्रिकेट खेलता था तो मैं रनर लगवाता था इवन दो आई वाज नॉट इंजर्ड. मैं भागूंगा नहीं, मैं बैट खेलूंगा और मेरे लिए रनर लगेगा एंड देन फील्डिंग में मैं विकेट कीपिंग करता था कि भागना ना पड़े. सो सो आई स्टॉप्ड एट द हाफ मार्क हाफिंग एंड बफिंग एंड देयर वर दीस थ्री ओल्ड अंकल्स आउट फॉर अ वॉक हु स्टॉप्ड एंड आस्क्ड मी बेटा तुम्हें कुछ चाहिए क्या, हम कुछ हेल्प कर दे. I was like, uncle, if I was able to breathe right now, I would abuse you, but I can't. So that's how it started. And then it became a thing that it's the most efficient form of burning calories without needing any equipment or some, you know, swimming pool or anything, most accessible. Mm-hmm. Keep on running. And then, of course, the competitive thing kicked in over a period of time that, oh, ab 5 kilometer bhag liya to 10 bhagte hain, 10 ho gaya to chalo half marathon karte hain, all of that stuff. But yeah, so that was my my journey. It was all started with weight loss, became a little competitive, never went up to triathlon, did training for a full marathon, which is my sob story, once in life, when I was in Calcutta on my first job when I joined Unilever and trained, and the race got cancelled.
क्या भारी ट्रेनिंग थी.
क्योंकि ममता दी डिसाइडेड 2 डेज बिफोर द रेस दैट शी विल टेक आउट अ प्रोसेशन, सो द रोड परमिशंस गॉट कैंसिल्ड. सो
इन ओनली हैपन इन कोलकाता.
आई नेवर ट्रेन, बट व्हाट आई वांट टू आस्क यू फ्रॉम योर ट्रेनिंग ऑफ दिस ट्रायथलॉन वाला टाइम इज लाइक, you know, when you run a startup, you're always thinking of, you know, learning things so that you become more efficient, your marketing becomes more efficient, your operations become more efficient. And like, at least me as a very, very young founder, I always think about like, what is the shortest path to getting there, because, you know, there is a cash in the bank to worry about, etc. So doesn't that hardwiring kick in even when you, because you're telling me that you're not the reader, Kaushik is. Like, I read a lot just because I hate someone coming and telling me later on, अरे तेरे को ये नहीं पता था, अगर तूने ये वाली शॉर्ट्स पहन ली होती है और ये वाले जूते ले लिए होते, because you are an overpronator, अगर तूने you know high arch वाली शूज ले लिए होते वगैरह, then I would feel really stupid कि fuck यार, I could have read this up. Yeah, so how is it like, how does your mind work about it? Don't you feel that, and especially when you're doing such long distances, that hey, maybe a bit of investment in learning about nutrition and training etc. can reap results?
So I think you're right, and it does. I remember, like, you know, the other athletes who used to meet, they used to be like, if you buy this helmet, that can shave off like 5 minutes. If you buy, like, you know, this wala wheel, it can reduce this much time, and, you know, over like a... So one is like when you're trying to say, like, you know, over a 17-hour run, you're trying to say instead of 10 hours, I'm going to do it in, you know, 10 hours ki jagah 9:45 mein karna hai. That's like, you know, those really peak performance level where every minute really counts. I finished it in actually 16 hours. Right. So I did not really have to optimize for that, you know, 16 hours, 16:10 ho ya 15:40 ho. It wasn't going to make like a meaningful difference because we had signed up for that race just to finish. If I were to do it again, I would definitely not be happy with the 16 hour. I would try to get it to a 13 or 14 hours, and then I would, you know, read a lot more. Also, I think I'm a very, you know, I have this like extreme focus thing. Like, you know, when I like, when I'm like trying to work towards a goal, I'm like, you know, this is the thing, goal around business, and this is the goal around work, and, you know, like everything else becomes like noise for me, right? So I am really like, you know, somebody can tell me like, you know, you have to attend this wedding, whatever, blah, blah, and I will not do it because of, you know, it doesn't fit in with what the next 6 months ka plan is, right? So, you know, if people come and tell me that your house looks like shit, I wouldn't give a damn about it because of the fact that, you know, right now I'm on a mission, right? And I'm so focused on it. So anything outside of that used to seem like waste of time for me. So I used to like literally measure everything in like minutes. Like, you know, 8 hours sleep chahiye, that is sacrosanct, right? So then after that, in your 16 hours, you're trying to crunch everything. So I used to actually, you know, the only one like resource that we did is kaun si race karni hai, because I knew that had a difference in make or break in terms of being able to finish or not. And I wanted the swim to be in a lake because sea mein toh I thought waves ka optimization plus, you know, not being able to touch the ground, that's going to kill me. But beyond that, I used to literally use every minute of the day thinking about my company, because I thought that, you know, that's where I know that this is my, you know, long term. Isko mujhe at one point IPO pahunchana hai, ye karna hai, wo karna hai, and every day matters. This is like a, you know, temporary goal for me. So I was literally, anything that doesn't directly, you know, make me think that it has like direct results on what I'm doing, I am very lazy about doing it. So I am not like, I can't cook. I can't like, you know, do any of the other like social obligations to save my life. But if I have like a, you know, I'm on a goal, which is like 6 months, then, you know, for those 6 months, I won't do anything else. I will just do that. And I used to like really feel that every minute I'm using, if I'm using a training, because I'm anyways 100% ki jagah doing 50%. So I'm like, the biggest difference will come if I can increase that 50 to 55, 60, 70% rather than spending all that time in doing research. And plus, you know, I used to like on the car journeys get like some download from Kaushik of, you know, what are the easier. So you used to get like creatine and some, you know, fancy amino, whatever, blocks, wala powders and stuff like that. So he used to be the geek who used to keep doing that. And he'd be like, nah, that's more important than the doing. But I think just DNA wise, I'm more like, you know, I don't like reading too much, and I just do it. And I've always paid the price for it. Like if I could go back and do my comrades, I'd do it with a coach with better, you know, training. Next Ironman, I'll probably, you know, think about it. But
goes to the, so we two podcasts before this, we were talking to a triathlon coach, and this is the conclusion that we came to, that obviously endurance sports is mind over matter. Like your body gets tired far behind, you know, before when you give up, like and there's, you know, proof in the fact that unlike all other sports in the world, the world's best marathoners, the world's best triathletes are in their 30s. They're not in their early 20s.
Yeah.
So it's clearly a mind sport than anything else. And the fact that, you know, actually overthinking does stop many people. Like so many of my mental blocks are getting opened up and I'm listening to you, because even I just give myself slightly higher excuses than anyone else, saying 42, maybe, you know, Bombay mein training is going to be a problem. Or that swimming to mereko aati nahi hai, main kaise triathlon kar sakta hun? But it's clearly mind over matter. And from that, then to seal off this point that A, it's mind over matter, and B, please do not try and copy whatever this woman does. Let me also ask you, although this one I think people should copy. Tell us about the run that you did when you were 6 months pregnant.
Right. So, you know, again, like I said, first pregnancy, so you are like in this like extreme paranoia mode, because you are on this, like everybody, the moment you like, you know, even after having my baby, I used to go for a run and people would be like, oh, you left your baby and came, and, you know, all this massive guilt trip on everything, right? Like guilt tripping, like, you know, and I would be like, he has a father as well who's with him. And somebody once actually cracked a joke, bichare ko sofe ki jagah plank pe sona pad raha hai. And I don't know what level of sexist jokes people crack. I mean, you know, like, and I would explain sometimes to somebody that, you know, there is like milk for him, which is the frozen milk. Frozen milk, like, gosh. So I can't tell you, like, in the first you know, pregnancy, I realized that you can do everything right, and you can do everything like, you know, like ideal mother you can try to be, and you will still get like judged, and you'll get humiliated, and you will get like, you know, like kaisi maa hai vibe all the time from everybody, including people who don't even have kids. Like, I'm like, you know, my bachelor friends are giving me like guilt about traveling, leaving my kid, and I'm like, okay, so this is a, you know, problem with the world. It's not a problem with how or what you're doing. And, you know, so next time I went into it, you know, with that whole thing that I will not give a damn about all the judging. Everybody can judge as much as they want. I will try to ignore it if possible. You know, I'll tell them to shut up if possible, or just, you know, like just completely block it out. So, and you know, one of the things was that I knew it first time also that, you know, I had like a lot of energy and I wanted to work out. But everybody used to be like, no running, you know, no gym, no this, that, whatever, right? And internationally, people were doing everything, right? Like, you know, women in the US course were doing. They were, you know, sprinting in their eighth, ninth month. I you know, told Kaushik that this time I'm going to sign up for Mumbai, because it was also like my, that year was my 10th. And I was like, you know, and nine times I'd done the 42 kilometer. This time I was like, at least half marathon to karna hai. My 10th year, it's like a big deal. And it's sort of like, a, you know, my favorite race in the world. And so he was like, okay, fine. But, you know, only condition is I get to do it with you. And he had signed up for the full marathon. Obviously, the timing of the baby news coming, etc. And race sign up, how Mumbai is always a very sought after race. So that didn't matter. So he wrote to them like subject line, pregnant wife, need to run with her, sort of thing. And then they're like, "Acha, beta, le le, tu half ka babe." So that's how. Spoke to my gynec. She was very supportive. She's like, "Listen, you are very fit. You are very active. And you've run so much. It's not gonna cause any stress to the fetus. So don't worry about it. Do it. Do it as you feel." And obviously, did not tell anybody in my in-laws' car side, because, you know, I knew they would freak out. And Kaushik was like, "We will tell them after it's done, because then they can't change it." So see, my parents, they are both like pretty well aware. So they were like, yeah, it's absolutely fine. And, you know, somebody explained to me also how the amniotic sac is like such a, big enough. It's like such solid cushioning for the baby that you can, you know, do like a bungee jump and nothing will happen. Not that I tried it, but, you know, it's that kind of solid cushioning. So, yeah, I think it was just about that. I mean, my whole lead up to the race was just about like the buy-in of people. I had no doubt that it will be a cakewalk for me, the entire thing, because it was just a half marathon. I didn't have a timing pressure. Still on the race day, I chickened out. I was like, you know, I'm going to get such gyan on the roads, because I used to go for practice runs. People used to stop me and be like, "Don't do this to your baby" and stuff like that. And it was so frustrating. And I was like, imagine now running with 20,000 people and every second uncle stopping you. But then I realized that, you know, there is certain like t-shirt size where you don't look pregnant. So it's sort of, if you can actually get away through a crowd. So, I landed up for the race with a t-shirt that did not make it look like I was 6 months pregnant. And it was, the run was super easy. In fact, I used to be like, chal, let's run. And Kaushik, do you need water? I was like, please, can you stop giving this like whatever extreme, like bimar person behavior treatment to me. So so we did in 240. I was like 245 se kam mein karna hai, because again, I just have to put like some number to it. Otherwise it doesn't like make me as excited about it. So I was like, okay, 240, 242 or something, maybe finished. And then at the finish line, then you're finally like posing like this and, you know, doing all kinds of, yes, we did it. Because obviously then by then I'd stopped running. So the worst that somebody can do is like come and like accuse me of really ruining my child's life or whatever. But yeah, I think it was, I think one has to be very active unless medically advised during your pregnancy, because that's the best for the mother and the child. The recovery becomes much easier later on. And it is really, I mean, the first thing that my doctor told me was, listen, you are not, when you get pregnant, you are not sick. You are not a disabled person. Please do not behave like one. Please do not eat for two people. Please do not stop doing anything. In fact, both my pregnancy, I've traveled a lot till like absolutely they stopped, banned me on flights. I would like travel and do everything, because I was like, iske baad 6 months is gonna be a lot of constraints in life, so might as well make the best of it. And I think as long as, and doctors now are very, very in fact, I know of doctors who are like, you put on too much weight and all that, rather than talking about really like being bedridden and stuff. So yeah, I mean, of course there are complicated cases and doctor's advice is absolutely the most important, but for everybody else, whatever exercise they're doing before, I think they should continue doing it after, as long as it's sumo wrestling or something, I don't know. But it was absolutely, I mean, I can't even make up a story here about how it was very hard, and then it was absolutely cakewalk.
Nutritionally, did you change anything at that time?
So again, I think, obviously they give you like a little, like a supplement of folic acid. I'm a person, like since my Ironman, I've got used to this idea of having six egg whites a day. So I anyways continue that. Even now I have it, whether or not I'm training, because, you know, I feel like protein is, you know, I feel like as a vegetarian, I'll always have a risk of having less protein. So I want to always over index on it. And I just continued with that. Nothing else. Yes, of course, there are lots of, like, you know, MSG, ni khana, yevo, all those restrictions. But I don't think I followed those also. Honestly, I had coffee also, and I occasionally had wine as well. So
this,
now you need to censor this.
The podcast, the three people who will hear it will know everything about your life. Okay.
I'm glad there are only three.
I want to touch upon this running while being a woman in India thing. How do you, like, what are, like, first, apart from uncle stopping and giving tips, what are the other considerations, problems, etc.? And any tips and tricks, like, what do you do, like that large t-shirt to cover your baby bump? What are your tips and tricks for regular training times that can make the run? Unfortunately, women have to think about this. That's sad that, you know, this is an added pressure on top of the actual run that they have to worry about. But it is what it is. So how do you cope with it? How do you deal with it?
Yeah, I think, you know, safety is always a concern. I'm from Delhi, and when I came to Mumbai, I used to be like, Mumbai is the place for women, and I used to think I'm absolutely invincible. But the reason I used to keep my husband along is that, you know, in Mumbai also random things happen, right? So the, you know, there is a moment when a, you know, something crazy happens, and then your entire outlook changes. And I think, you know, that happened somewhere before my run training, which is why I used to, like, drag my husband and make him sit in the car, because I used to literally be scared that, you know, I'd get attacked during a run. So I think the biggest is safety, and you know, anywhere in India, you know, any time of the day, and I think the best thing for anyone is to train with someone. I think there's nothing that it makes training also more fun, and if you have a training partner, then, you know, generally you're much safer. And I think for me, I'm just, like, you know, because I'm very random, you know, I'm not very, like, very, like, throughout the year I will train at a certain time, and it all depends on what goals, etc., are, and my schedule. So which is why I always struggle to find somebody else who's as crazy. So that's my problem. So I've never been able to have a training partner. But I think if I could just, you know, have a training partner who stays nearby and agrees to random schedule, then I'd be, like, much more fierce and unstoppable as a runner. Apart from that, I think, you know, I used to think that I run slowly. That's why I get all the tips, and I get stopped by people and asked for all kinds of, you know, given all kinds of advice. Like, in the last few months, I was, like, literally running, like, sub 5 pace and all, and then also I was getting stopped. So people actually stop somebody who's running at a sub 5 pace also to ask questions and give gyan, right? So I think it's just the you know, because there are still fewer women runners, I think getting stopped is very common, and I would think that on the streets it happens, in the park it won't, but it happens everywhere, and the only way to avoid that is to run at your home in a treadmill. But it's not the same thing. You can't train for a marathon by just completely running on a treadmill. So again, I think a training partner would really solve it. Things have really improved. If I were to run at, say, a Marine Drive, it wouldn't be the same thing, because there are so many women running, and the whole culture, especially, like, you know, November, December, Sunday mornings are like one fest at Marine Drive, right? With so many, you know, proper runners and stuff. So I think the density really solves for everything. So I think 5 years later, will it still be very hard? I don't think so. Now, is it much better than it was, like, say, 5 years back? Of course it is. So I think things are getting better on its own. But I would say the biggest is to really, you know, since you, my husband was telling me, why don't you put AirPods and not put music on?
I was going to ask that do you run with music? That's a big deterrent generally, even if there's no music.
Yeah. So, you know, again, if I'm running like 5:30, 6, 6:30 ka pace, then it's okay. But when I'm running, trying to make certain timings, I feel that I can't wear music, because of the fact that you have to also be thinking about traffic. You have to be thinking about, you know, safety in that sense. Right. So, and you get to focus more. So I think in general, if you're very specific about doing like a certain timing, then I don't think music helps. I think music makes it worse because you're not as able to focus on the running form, on the timing, on your breathing, on a lot of the other factors, on like taking care of the environment, like traffic, dogs, etc. It takes away from the focus there. So I think my best runs are always without music. But yes, if I'm doing like a relaxed Sunday run, then, you know, I would probably consider music. Again, in a park, I feel still it's okay. On the road, you know, literally there are so many people riding and driving while looking at their phones. It is scary. I mean, you know, you can actually have like a accident. It's not as bad as cycling, but I think there is a safety concern there as well with regards to just having an accident.
And so, from a practical tip point of view, two questions. One, for Mumbai folks, like, what's your favorite long run area, route, etc.? And how do you manage hydration? You might be carrying gels, etc., but pani wagera, how do you manage?
Right. So, the best route is we always used to do, I had like some friends who used to stay in Bandra. So, we used to do BKC to Nariman Point and back. So, that entire like Worli, Shivaji Park, Worli, and then
the actual marathon route.
So, the good thing is that during the running season, they have like these, you know, lot of people doing this whole water support thing. Plus, you carry some money. So we used to always, there's this shop called Lights of Persia on Pedder Road. Wahan pe jaake thanda Gatorade was always like a thing. Like, you know, like 6 kilometers to go before getting thanda Gatorade from that shop at Pedder Road. So you know, never used to carry water because carrying anything as a runner is like a you know, it's not fun. But luckily there are enough hydration points. And otherwise, if I'm not doing that, like for instance, I just did the half marathon by myself. So I did like a loop. So I would put the like, stuff in the car and then I would like just, you know, keep running like 2 kilometer loops. So every time you need to hydrate, you can take stuff from the car.
My last question, why do you run? You started off as a sportsman in your early childhood days, etc. And then, okay, you got into running because it was one of those things that people were doing. But you've continued at a much higher level than most people do. Why do you run?
I think, I genuinely think that, although waking up early is always a chore, I just am a happier person on the days I run. My husband says that you are a better person. So I think I'm a better mom, better, you know, CEO, better spouse, better friend, better everything on the days that I run. Because it just, you know, if you start your day with a run, you've started, like, you know, got an opportunity to experience like the quiet before all the chatter around you starts. And second is the whole adrenaline post run and that, you know, the happy high that running gives me, and like my whole day, the energy levels I feel are just higher. So I think even if I do a half an hour run, I'm a better person throughout the day. So if I need to like not become like a crazy moron, I have to continue running for the rest of my life.
Okay, actually I said last, but I have two chotu more questions that came to my mind after this. One is, are you a foodie, and is there a angle here of ki running se fir jitna marji khao jo bhi khao itna run kar? And because some people, including me.
Yeah.
I love running ka ye part ho ki ek bari 1000 calories jala liye to matlab ab to aish hi hai. And the second one is, in I'm assuming nowadays are normal days, you guys are not training for a triathlon or something, and you're back to running. What's your like running frequency and schedule? How many times a day, what time during the day when do you run?
So, you know, for the first question, actually, not much of a foodie. I have, in fact, like I mentioned, I think the reason why I never have had to think about, food much is that I grew up, you know, with a family there where there was never any junk food at home. So I never developed a craving for any packaged food. So literally like a GU gel, like, you know, during the run, which I now take, is probably the only packaged food I have. And I think a lot about this, and it's just coincidental, but my only cravings are things like chole, rajma chawal, you know, parathe. But home cooked food, like even if you like overdo, but you're not eating mid meals, you never end up having to worry much about weight. And I really feel that, you know, like it's like that whole upbringing made such a big difference. And I really feel that I'm not doing enough of that for my kids, because my kids, you know, do fancy chips and stuff like that, which somehow I, you know, because hamare ghar mein to Maggie ghar mein banna used to also be like a, you know, you had to have like a occasion or something that can allow you to have Maggie at home. Like, so all my, I mean, you know, so all my everything is like ghar ka khana. So I never think about anything. I've never had any like, you know, like specific nutrition plans and stuff like that. In fact, very recently, 3 months back, finally, I decided to ask a nutritionist to give me a nutrition plan, because I was, you know, training for, you know, a run, which I, during the lockdown, I just wanted to like within 2 months get to a sub too quickly. So I asked her, listen, please, behen, don't put like, you know, quinoa and fancy smoothies and anything in that, because I can't do any of that to save my life. I can't cook, right? So just make it very simple. Like, this is what I eat, ghar ka khana. Just tell me if there is some massive, you are not having magnesium, zinc, you know, those things which I have no idea about, you know, then I can. So then she finally came back and said, okay, I won't do much. I will let you eat ghar ka khana. Just please add these seeds. Then I, that was the like first time I bought these like flax seeds and pumpkin seeds and chia seeds. And, you know, so one time I used to post run, come back and add them to this, you know, to oats and have them. That was my like, okay, nutrition checkbox is being ticked. But
aapke jaise logo ki waise hamare ko sunna padta hai ki time limited hai tumhara.
I love those bars. And I really, I mean, if I, you know, I genuinely am very like, I, you know, keep telling my husband all the time ki tum broad macha rahe, like you're buying all kinds of junk food and like in the name of healthy food, so please don't. But I genuinely, this, the your bars and raw pressery ka juice jo hota hai, usme kahin likha nahi hai sugar. So when I'm like traveling or something, I would take probably these two things, because, you know, I know that there is a lot of hidden junk in all the food.
Just plug ke liye sawal pucha, very nice. We both played it so well.
Now you'll ensure at least 10 people listen to it.
Ajkal, what is your running schedule nowadays?
Okay. So honestly, last couple of months, I've been traveling a bit. I haven't been running. But before that, when I was doing this like tuka, I used to do 3 days a week. And I actually got a friend to tell me like, you know, what to do in those 3 days, because, you know, so he would tell me that do this like time trial on one day, interval training on one day, and a long, slow distance on one day. And I think that really helped, because, you know, like from a person who does like random training, jaake bas bhag lo, to the moment you first start adding some structure, you see like sudden dramatic result. So I hadn't been running for almost a couple of years much. And, you know, that sort of helped me like improve my speed very quickly, because it suddenly added that structure. And, you know, again, I don't follow structure, but structure really helps. It has like exponential results for people who do. So, you know, because I was following his thing, these 3 days a week, I used to just do about, it was used to be short, like 40, 45 minutes sort of run. But, you know, very focused that, you know, it's 7 kilometers karna in 40 minutes, or, you know, so on and so forth. The other days, like, you know, maybe like something like a short upper body dumbbell workout at home, YouTube pe chala ke, whatever. There's this lady called Sydney Cummings. She's like full enthu. So like Tabata and kickboxing, and, you know, some days like random upper body, lower body. So with, again, those were unstructured, but just for fun. And sometimes my kids would join me. So 3 of us would like on the mat be doing it. And, you know, they have these small baby dumbbells that they would also be lifting. So yeah, it's been fun.
Anywho, my questions are done. This was awesome. Like super. मतलब मैं तो अब depression में चला गया हूँ. कुछ नहीं कर रहा हूँ like. मुझे बहुत कुछ करना है और.
Great. Thank you so much. It was fun.
It was super duper fun. Can't wait for this one to get out and for the world to see this side of the sugar cosmetics life. Stop talking about the hundreds of crores of business I've done. Look at this.
So that was the unbelievably inspiring Vinita. Next week, we chat with another lady who's done our country proud. 3-time national 200-meter champion Aisha Bilmoria, who you might know as Fit Girl India, shares with us her story, her Olympic dream, and why she believes that India's villages will produce the next Olympic superstar. Hit the bell icon below to make sure you don't miss out on this or any future episode. Ciao for now.